We'll be quick and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy, and you and you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to two or three people. Tell them how glad you are to see them here at Word of Life. Amen. We are certainly glad to see you here with us this morning. I believe God's got something just for you. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hands and our ushers will be in the aisles now ready to give you a Bible. You're under no obligation to take one, but if you want one, we'd love to give it to you. Our goal here is to teach the Word of God. That should be the goal of every church. And it's funny, I was listening to a CD the other day, and it was one that I quickly expelled from my home after I listened to it. But it was talking about church growth, and they were saying, now you don't want to open up the Bible too much in church, especially Sunday morning, because you know you may have some people there who are not comfortable with their Bible yet, don't know where everything's at. Well, friend, that's the point of coming to church, to get comfortable with it so that when you leave, you know it. So anyway, like I said, I no longer am a possessor of that CD. Matthew chapter 17, and let's look here in verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. We're going to read this, and then chances are we'll read it again after we read it once. Matthew 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said unto them. Who's talking here? Jesus. Who's Jesus? He's your Lord and he's your Savior. Isn't that right? He is our Master. And watch what he says here. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall, or you could say in modern day English, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And nothing will be impossible unto you. Nothing will be impossible to you. Who is you referring to in this scripture? Yeah, it's referring to you. It's referring to someone who has faith the size of a mustard seed, who is saying unto this mountain, be thou removed. Jesus here is talking about the subject of faith, and he highlights what faith is able to do for you and for me. It's able to take all the limits off. That in your life and mine, there should be no strongholds in our business, no matter what the economy does. No matter what type of regulations are placed on your industry, that with the power of faith, it takes off those limits. Nothing is impossible unto you. You could be in a situation that looks like it's impossible for it to turn around, but faith is able to turn it completely. Let's read it again, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Basically, they came to Jesus and said, why weren't we able to produce results when it came to this kid? And Jesus said it was because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing's impossible to those who know this principle of faith. Now, many people, when they read this, nothing's impossible to him that believeth. They think immediately, well, what I need to do is get more faith. I need more faith. And if I can't get faith, then I'll go to someone who I think has faith. So I'll go to the pastor after service. You know, he's paid to have faith. He should have faith. I'll go to the pastor at the end of service. And, you know, he's probably got some at least medium-sized faith. And we might be able to get some results here. Or, you know, let's hook up a prayer chain and let's get as much faith working as possible. But I want you to hear what Jesus said. This is not any old teacher. This is Jesus. And his words are law. They are spiritual law. They work every time. He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Now, I went and actually, when you leave this place, we're going to give you some mustard seeds. Where you can see just how small a mustard seed really is. And I've got to stop right here and just say a big God bless you to my staff. Because you'll never know how frustrating it is to take little bitty bags and stuff a whole bunch of mustard seeds in hundreds and hundreds of bags. But we did it for you. It was a labor of love. So with that, though, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, not just a mustard seed, but a sliver of a mustard seed, it's very, very tiny. He said, if you have itty bitty faith, if you just have itty bitty tiny faith and you use it, and you take great big mountain moving action and start speaking to what's in your life and start speaking to your life and blessing it with your words, nothing shall be impossible to you. What Jesus was saying is yes, it's good to have great big faith. That's something we should all be striving for, to grow in faith, to excel in faith, to gain more insight in faith, to come to church and hear the word and have that word produce faith in our heart. That's wonderful. We should all be striving for it. But Jesus said, if you got itty, 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 bitty faith, I mean, just a grain of a mustard seed size faith, and you actually use it, that with this itty bitty faith, you take mountain moving action and you act on what you believe, that nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, what this means, friends, is this puts everyone on an even playing field. That it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or how long you've been sitting underneath the word or how long you've been coming to church. You could have got born again yesterday. But if you have just a small portion of faith, I mean, if that's all you've got in you, Jesus said that immediately you qualify for nothing being impossible to you. If you will just use the faith that you have. And friends, what I've seen is the same thing that happened in this story. A man brought a demon-possessed child to the disciples. And they tried to cast him out, the Bible says. And they couldn't. And the man comes and explains to Jesus that I brought him to your disciples and they weren't able to cast him out. And of course, Jesus then cast out the devil and the disciples come to Jesus and say, why weren't we able to cast it out? And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. And then he identifies what they must have done. If you just have faith the size of a mustard seed and you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into yonder place, it will be cast over into that place and nothing will be impossible to you. See, when we encounter situations, immediately we begin to hesitate. Or so oftentimes we move over into a place of silence. We start thinking, worrying, fear comes in. We start contemplating the situation. And Jesus is saying, no, what you need to be doing is using even if it's just a little bit, use the little bit of faith you have. And if you use that faith, nothing will be impossible to you. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you using your faith? Maybe it is just itty, itty, bitty faith, but are you using the faith that you have? Are you speaking to your life? Are you waking up and saying, like we did at the start of the service, this is going to be my best year yet, filled with God's favor. This situation's going to turn around. I know it's all coming to pass this year. Are you using the faith that you have? It's not a matter of having great, big, giant faith. Yeah, it's a good thing to have. But even if you just have itty-bitty faith and you use it and you start speaking unto the mountains in your life, the Bible says nothing will be impossible to you. I wish we could just have God come in and open up our minds and just drop that statement in us. Nothing. If you have itty bitty faith, just a grain of a mustard seed, and you start using it, nothing will be impossible to you. That there are no excuses. You can't look at education, or you can't look at, I just didn't have favor in that situation and someone else got the promotion. Now it looks I'm stuck here. No, if you have itty-bitty faith and you use it, Jesus said, nothing will be impossible to you. Go over to the book of Mark chapter 5. We're in Matthew. Let's go over to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look here in verse 25. And on the screens, if you can pull up Mark chapter 5, verse 28 in the Amplified. Mark chapter 5, verse 28 in the Amplified. We're looking at Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 in our Bibles. Here we see a woman, and we'll just start reading about her here in verse 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. So she's had this stronghold, this physical stronghold in her life for 12 years. And we read the next passage of Scripture, and we see that over these 12 years, she has done everything in the natural to try to break out of this stronghold. Watch this in verse 26. And she suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So for 12 years, this woman has been fighting this disease with every bit of natural force she has available. She's not just gone to a doctor, she's gone to many doctors. She's exhausted every one of her financial means to try to break out of this situation. But with all the monies that she spent, with all the doctors that she has seen, she's not only not getting better, she's getting worse. Have you ever had a situation like that in your life? It looks like you're doing everything you can in the natural to turn this thing around. I mean, you're exhausting every one of your means to flip this situation. But it just seems like not only is it not getting better, but in fact, it looks like it's getting worse. Something happened in this woman's life, and watch what happens here in the next passage of Scripture. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. Now I want you to get this. She didn't go to a Bible-believing church. She never heard Jesus preach. She never heard John the Baptist teach a message. Apparently, somewhere in her life, someone came and told her that there is a man named Jesus who miracles are performed through his hands. She just heard of Jesus. Never heard him preach. She just heard of Jesus. But how does faith come? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So whenever you hear the word of God come, what's going to happen next? Faith is going to be sown into your heart. That's how you know you're hearing the word of God. Faith will be implanted into your heart. If you're sitting in a church and fear is coming, something is dramatically wrong there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, faith is produced. And so she hears of Jesus, and when she hears of Jesus, this seed of faith is sown into her heart. We don't know how often she heard of Jesus. We do know that she didn't have the luxuries of what we have today of podcasts you can download and a bookstore full of Bible doctrine and stories of faith. She didn't have any of that at her disposal. She didn't go to a big faith conference. No, she just had one seed of faith sown into her heart. She heard of Jesus. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17. It's not the size of your faith, it's what you do with the faith that you have. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and you start using it, and you start speaking unto mountains, you start acting on that faith, if it's just itty bitty faith and you take massive mountain moving action, nothing will be impossible to you. And here we see this woman in the natural. She is in an impossible situation. But she hears of Jesus. Faith is sown into her heart. You know what she does next? She takes massive moving, mountain moving action. She starts using the faith that she has. I don't even know if she was fully aware of what she was doing. But she practiced Matthew chapter 17 down to its core. Watch what she did here in Matthew or Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she did what? For she said. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 17? If you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into yonder place, nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. She's had this little seed of faith sown into her. She heard of Jesus. What's she doing next? She's taking action. She gets up. She leaves her house. She starts pressing in the press behind Jesus. And all the while she is saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Notice this in the Amplified, Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. It says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Picture this woman, 12 years, went all to the doctor, spent all that she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. She hears of Jesus, a little seed of faith is sown into her heart. She works up the courage to step out of that household. She's pressing in behind the multitude. And the whole time she's pressing, she is saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be restored unto health. When I touch the hem of his garment, my health's going to be restored unto me. The whole time she's releasing the little bit of faith she has. And watch what happens here. You know the story. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Master, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Think about it. For 12 years, she's living in bondage. For 12 years, the main goal of her life was to get free. And she tried everything to get free. Went to every doctor in the land. Spent all that she had. Exhausted every natural resource. but was nothing better. Instead, she grew worse. Impossible in the natural. But when this little seed of faith was sown into her heart, and she started acting on that faith, nothing was impossible to her anymore. And what seemed impossible in years past now was not only possible, but it came true. Her faith made her whole. Jesus could have said, "My power made you whole." And immediately we could teach today that you've got to wait on the power of God. But he turned to her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Which means the only thing that's stopping your life from being whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, is not God just coming in and doing something wonderful. It's your faith in God's ability to do it. There were many people thronging Jesus that day and got nothing. But when she touched his garment with the touch of faith, that power was released from his body and that woman was made perfectly whole. Daughter, that faith hath made thee whole. What was her faith? Was it great, big, mountain-moving faith? Yes, but not in stature, in use. She used the little faith that she had. Think about all the great Bible stories that we've read. Think about all the ones that you've ever heard, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman without a covenant with God, the woman who was not of Israel. She's got a daughter who's grievously vexed. She's approaching Jesus, begging, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He keeps walking. She's crying out so loud that the disciples come and tell Jesus, "Can you tell her to leave us alone? She's annoying us." She comes and finally gets a little bit closer to Jesus, cries out to him again. And he said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he said, "Daughter, great is thy faith." What made her faith so great? She wasn't one of the disciples. Jesus never turned to his disciples and said, "Hey guys, that was amazing. Great faith right there." He never did that with his disciples. They walked with him for 3 years, but this woman, we don't know if she ever heard him preach, but she must have heard of Jesus. And she uses the faith that she has with massive action. She uses persistent power and keeps pressing in. She gets her miracle. Think about the story. Well, let's go over there and look at it. Luke chapter 18, the story Jesus told. This is one of my favorite stories. Luke chapter 18. And while we're turning, if you can pull up Mark chapter 11, verse 22 on the screens. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, "And he being Jesus, spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith." He said, there's something that the unjust judge said that you need to hear. He said, there's something that the unjust judge said that you and I need to pay attention to. Well, what did he say? I believe wholeheartedly it's in verse 5. "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Go down to verse 7. "And shall not God your Father avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" What's this whole parable about? It's a parable about faith. Well, what's the parable talking about? You've got a woman who is troubled by an adversary going to a judge nonstop saying, avenge me of my adversary, continually coming. And the judge said, this woman's wearying me. She's tiring me out. I'll hearken to her request. And he granted what she was asking. Jesus said, notice what the unjust judge said, because of her continual coming. He turns it around and says, shall not God, your Father, answer your prayers, avenge his own children, if day and night you're crying unto him? Not with the cry of unbelief, but with the cry of faith. He says, yes, he will avenge you speedily. Are you using the faith that you have? I said, I wish I had bigger faith. If you just have faith the size of a mustard seed and you use it, nothing will be impossible to you. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. You and I are to have faith in God. It's so funny when people talk about prayer. I'll say, well, we've tried everything else. I guess all we can do now is pray. As if, you know, we've tried everything, you know, and none of that worked. Well, we'll just fall back over on prayer. Friend, it's amazing how little faith people actually use. No, we are to have faith in God. As a businessman, you are to have faith in God that God's helping you in business. As a marriage couple, you're to have faith in God that God is bringing love, joy, and peace into your home. As a parent, you're to have faith in God that God is helping you parent those children into the champions God has caused them to be. But friend, I want to encourage you. We can have faith in God, and Jesus exhorts us here in the next couple of scriptures that yes, have this faith in God. But even beyond that, use the faith that you have into him. Notice what he says in verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice he's saying, have faith in God, guys. But even beyond having faith, use the faith that you've got. Start speaking to mountains. Start blessing your life. Somebody said, well, how does this apply to me and where I'm at in life? What are you saying over your life right now? You're going to have what you say. What are you saying over your life right now? What are you saying over your children? What are you saying over this year? What are you saying when you approach a sales call like we talked about last week? I forget which service it was in, but a woman struggling in sales, and all she said was, I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to sell vacuum cleaners. And sure enough, she was having everything that she said. Finally, she came across a woman who told her a master principle out of Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, that with God, all things are possible, and that God would back her up. And that she was to have faith in God, that if God was for her, who could be against her? She said, here's what I want you to do before every sales call. Say, God is helping me sell vacuum cleaners. And if God is helping me sell vacuum cleaners, I can sell a lot of vacuum cleaners. Before every sales call, say, God is helping me make this sales call. What is that? That's using the faith that you have. What are you saying over your life? I was reading in a book a couple of weeks ago, and I keep going back to it. But it gave the story of a businessman who was just failing in a big, big way. There had been some regulations that the government had passed that had altered the landscape of his business. And not only that, but the economy kind of took a turn. And whereas before it was booming and there were a lot of people getting in the business because there was a huge opportunity there, the economy turned and it began to tank. So when it's tanking, the economy as a whole was tanking, you had all these businessmen who got in the market when it was going up, now all fighting for customers who are much smaller in a pool size. And so he said it was just brutal. And he came across a newspaper article one day in the middle of all this. And it was an article by a preacher who was very famous way back in the day. I think this was in the 40s to 50s. And the article was talking about why not take God on as your business partner. In fact, the term was used, why don't you effect a merger with God? And he said he had never gone to church before, and that he knew a little bit about religion, but had never heard any terms like that. And so he didn't give it too much thought. He read the article. But a couple of days later, he's sitting in his office, and things had just took another turn from bad to even worse. And he said at that moment, sitting there, he was honestly thinking about committing suicide. It was that bad. Friend, let me just stop right here and say, nothing is ever that bad. Live your life. But here he is, he's in this place, and because of all this exterior pressure, these thoughts are coming into his mind. And in the middle of all this, another thought rose up, and it was the thought that was given in that article. Why not ask God to be your business partner? Effect a merger with God. When he read that little article, what happened? A little seed of faith was sown into his heart. Nothing huge, not a book, not a seminar, not even a whole page of a newspaper, just a little article in a newspaper that had faith in it. When he read it, that seed of faith was sown into his heart. And this businessman, he said, you know, I hadn't prayed probably more than 12 times in my entire life. He said, I didn't even know how to pray. He said, but in the middle of all this, that thought came up to me. Why don't I take God as my business partner? And so he said, I put my arms on my desk, laid my head on my arms, and said, God, I read that article about how you could be a business partner with a man and that you desire to help him succeed in life. And he said, I'm asking you to be my business partner. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll try to do my best to do it. Wherever you tell me to be, I'll try to do my best to be there. But I'm asking for your help. Now, what's he doing when he's doing that? He's releasing a little bit of faith that he has. He's using the little bit of faith that he got from that article, but he's actually doing something with it. And he prays this prayer, asks God to help him in business to turn this situation around. And he said amen, and he was expecting some type of miraculous thing to happen, but he said nothing like that did happen. He said, though, on the inside, there was a peace there. He said, before, I could only come up with panicky ideas. He said, after that prayer, there was a peace in my heart. He said, the next day, I came in and did the same thing. Father, you're my business partner. I thank you that you're helping me in business. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. Just repeated the same prayer. He said, I didn't know how to talk to God like people talk to him in church with all the these and thous. I just talked to him like you'd talk to a business partner. We're facing this. I need to know what to do. We've got these bills here. I need to know what you want me to do with them. And he said one day, as he was doing this, and I love this illustration. It's so wonderful because it highlights how God does speak to us. Here's a man, not a church guy, hadn't read Brother Hagin's book on how to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. He doesn't know how to describe it adequately, but he comes up with a beautiful description. He said it was like toast popping out of a toaster. Just on the inside, it was like toast popping out of a toaster. And an idea came. And at first, I thought it was just a hunch, but he said, I never had thought about doing business like that. He said, I knew it was my business partner helping me. And he said, sure enough, I went and acted on it. And the business started to turn around. And he found this preacher who was speaking at a Rotary Club meeting. He found him and came up to him and told him. He said, this has changed my life completely. Now, all he has is far less than what I'm giving you today. Far less information. Far less words. We went to multiple scriptures today. We've talked about multiple different stories. All of these examples of people who were using the little bit of faith they had. All he had was a little bitty article that said, why not ask God to be your business partner? Effect a merger with God. And it completely turned his life around. I'm telling you today that no matter how small your faith is, if you will use it, nothing will be impossible to you. But the question is, are we using the faith that we have? Are we waking up every day and praying and asking God to help us? Are we blessing our life and blessing our job and blessing our employees and blessing our house and blessing our kids and blessing our spouse? Are we doing that? Are we using the faith that we have? I want to encourage you, use it. I'll close with this. I sent myself an email. I don't know how I did it, but I sent myself an email. And I guess what had happened was, is I have an iPhone and there's an application on the iPhone that's for notes. And you can go in there and type in notes. And oftentimes I'll use that and just reach in there and type in a message idea or something to go back and study. And I'll send myself an email as a reminder to go back and look at those notes. And so you can do it through this note program. And so I set this note up. And all the note was your voice in God's ears is all you need to change your world. And that's all I put in the email. And I meant for it to send it to me for the first part of last year because I was going to use that. So I completely forgot about the note, but I got the email a couple of days ago and I opened it up. It was from myself. I thought that's odd because I hadn't done that in a while. And I opened it up and that's what I was reading back at me. Your voice in God's ears is all you need to change your world. What's God hearing from your mouth? In the book of Numbers chapter 14, the children of Israel were struggling out in the desert and all they were doing was complaining about their situation. I mean, just complain, 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 complain. Murmur about the food, murmur about the living conditions. And God came and spoke to him one day and you know what he said? He said, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Sounds a lot like Mark chapter 11, verse 23. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Friend, I want to encourage you. What are you saying? He shall have whatsoever he saith. What are you saying? What is God's ears hearing about your life? Hearing about your living conditions, hearing about increase. What is he hearing? Is he hearing complaining and murmuring, or is he hearing a believer rise up in faith, use the faith that he has, and start speaking to the mountains in his life? Friend, God will not only hear you, but he will watch over those words to perform them, and he will come speedily in your life and mine. Even if you've just got itty, itty, bitty faith, but you take massive mountain-moving action, nothing is impossible to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray over this service as we end it. Father.